you were to open your Bible right in the very center, you would be at the place where I want to read a few verses, first of all. It's the book of Ecclesiastes, very seldom read in a gospel meeting. Written by the wisest king, Solomon, right in the middle of your Bible, you'll find the place is remarkably clean. 742 is the page in my Bible, if that helps you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I want you to notice these wonderful words that I'm going to use perhaps out of their original context and make application. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 8, there is one alone and there is not a second. I want you to think of that little expression, there is one alone and there is not a second. Now verse 9, two are better than one. You could remember this, there is one alone and there's not a second, and then two are better than one. Now verse 12 in the last sentence there, the last phrase, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I want you to think of these three expressions first of all. There is one alone and there is not a second. Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now let us read in the Gospel by John, chapter 3. The Gospel by John, chapter 3. And I'd like to read the best known verse in all the Word of God tonight. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Our brother mentioned, and rightly too, the simplicity of being saved. How a person was saved in simplicity. And there are two things that I always aim at when I'm called upon to preach the gospel. And the first is simplicity. Because there may be someone in the gathering who has never sat in a gospel meeting before and would desire to know how to be saved. I think it would be sad if anyone would attend our gathering and we would be so sophisticated and so theological that they would leave the meeting without knowing how to be saved. And so we always aim at simplicity, lest one would be present who has never heard the story before. And then, of course, on the night of our conversion, every one of us here, we have to become like a little child. The Savior said in Matthew 18, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there's no one so simple or so trusting as a little child. And every one of us saved here, we lost all the ideas we had and all the knowledge we had accumulated, and we came like a little child to believe what God had to say about the way of salvation. So we always aim at being simple when we preach the gospel. But the second thing we aim at is solemnity. Because while it may be the first night for someone here and they need a simple message, it may be the last night as far as someone is concerned. How do we know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. And therefore we always aim at solemnity. For the coming of the Lord is very near. He may come before another Lord's Day. And if he does, the door that we heard about already will be shut. There will be no hope of ever being saved. The solemnity of the gospel. Now, in order to preach the simplicity of the gospel, I have chosen one of these grand old verses, John 3 and verse 16. I'm always glad when I see it hanging in a prominent place in our gatherings. Everywhere I go, I advocate that John 3 and 16 should be hanging, as this one is, either behind the preacher or near to the front, so that anyone coming in could read the precious word of the gospel. Years ago, in my home assembly in Ireland, I was preaching with Mr. Campbell, one of the old preachers, and after the meeting, when we went to the door, a girl said to me, "I got saved tonight," and he overheard it. And I see him yet, he leaned down and he said, "Tell me, dear, what part of the service were you saved in?" He wanted it to be his part. I don't really mind what part, as long as they get saved. But he was a wonderful man of God, nevertheless. But she answered him, she said, "In neither part." She said, "I was saved before either of you men spake, and I didn't hear a word you said." Just what our brother said, he didn't hear Mr. Byrd preach the gospel that night in Glasgow. He didn't remember what he said. "I didn't hear a word that you said, and I was saved before you started, reading John 3 and 16, hanging up behind you on the wall of the hall." So when we were coming home, I said, "That makes you feel that you're not much, when people can get saved before you start, and don't remember a thing you said." But John 3 and 16 is one of the most wonderful verses in all the Word of God. I'm always thrilled when I go into a motel and pull out the Bible, the Gideon Bible, and there on the front of it, the blessed words of John 3 and 16 in over 25 languages. And I always bow my head and say, "Grant that someone coming here from Arabia or from Iraq or from Pakistan or wherever they come from, that they might pick up this book and read these golden words, and that the light of the gospel would dawn upon their darkened soul." Many years ago in Boscobel, in Wisconsin, the late Mr. Mick, who lived there, he said, "Harold, I'm sure you'll be interested to come along to this hotel in the middle of Boscobel." And so he took me to the hotel, and he brought me in, and he said, "Well, walk the stairs. There's a room here I want to show you." And when I got to the room, it said, the foundation of the Gideons took place in this room. And I went in. Of course, I'm not a Gideon, but I do support the idea of the Bible being placed in motels, a wonderful thing. And there in that room, I thought how good it was that some man thought of putting a Bible in every hotel throughout the land. And I have no doubt that when people would read John 3 and 16 in their own mother tongue, if even one would turn up in heaven, what a wonderful thing that would be. So this is a glorious verse. I'm always happy when I'm preaching from John 3 and verse 16. Many, many years ago, there was a missionary came from India, and he told something that I never forgot. I've always thought about it. It was a young prince in up there in northern India, and those young men, they loved to get jewels and precious stones, and he had sent to South Africa for a certain jewel he wanted, and the dealer, when he was putting it together, he hadn't tissues to wrap it up in his office. And he opened his desk and he took out a Bible and he started to tear out some of the pages and he wrapped this gem up in some pages of the Bible. And he sent it to far off India. And when the young man opened the box and then he opened up the tissue and he looked at this gem and lifted it and looked at it, he was absolutely thrilled with the beauty of that gem that day. And then his eye rested on the tissue. And as he looked at the tissue, it was John chapter 3. And when he came down to verse 16 and read those beautiful words, they smote his heart, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And as a result of reading that text, that young man was led to trust the Savior for eternity. But this was what I liked about the story. When he was sending to the dealer, sending the money for that gem, he wrote a little note and he said, The jam was beautiful, wonderful, precious. He said the tissue was priceless. A priceless tissue. And I want to say, if we have nothing in the Bible between its black pages but this one verse, we have got everything that is needed to point a soul to Christ and to salvation. So I'm going to write the three things that I read in Ecclesiastes. There's so many ways to preach John 3 and 16, but I have three little pegs that I want to use to hang over this verse this evening. And the first is, there is one alone, and there is not a second. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And they said, never man spake like this man. In Psalm 45 we read, grace is poured into thy lips, and certainly every word that fell from his lips will live forever. Even when heaven and earth are passed away, his words will abide. But of all the words that he spake, there is one that is preeminent. There is one alone, a preeminent word in the gospel. There is one alone, and there is not a second. This verse is unique, preeminent, and peerless. It's the greatest verse in all the Bible. Are all the fundamentals of our Christian faith, and in simplicity, the way of salvation clearly states,